When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Hockey at the Rock. Hello, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm doing great, and I hope Lewis and all his little friends listening during their lunch are doing great. Preemptively, get out of my room if you're not supposed to be there. Anyway,
do your homework.
Do your homework. All right, so we're here in a much better mood, obviously, as I'm sure all of the listeners are, because it is now a best of three series. That's right, after the doom and gloom that was the first two slaughters in New Jersey by the Rangers, the Devils went to Madison Square Garden, clawed out some wins, and returned to New Jersey with a whole new perspective. And when I say clawed out some wins, they really, really buckled down and had to grind out some serious efforts, especially defensively, given the first two games in Jersey.
Absolutely, Dan. I mean, both the games were your classic examples of what playoff hockey is. What is playoff hockey? It's super tight, super tense, very intense, but at the same time, nobody wants to make the big mistake. That was game three and game four. And I'm happy to say that the New Jersey Devils pulled out an overtime win in game three, 2-1. Pulled off a 2-1 win and added in an empty netter for a much more comfortable looking 3-1 win in game four to tie up the series. So all the questions about, can the Devils handle the tough games? Can they handle the tight games? How will they respond to two games where they got absolutely decisively and most definitely destroyed by our hated rivals? The answer is defense.
Yeah, the emotional counterpunch has been quite strong. The narrative of exactly who you just mentioned, Akira Schmid, a rookie goaltender coming in, winning these two games in such a big pressure moment, but also the way he looked doing it, it did not feel for a second like he was feeling any pressure when we learned in post-game interviews that he was, and it would be impossible for him not to, but man, did he not show it in his play, in his demeanor. The team just looked more confident in front of him, and for different reasons, the overtime win in game three and, you know, game four itself, there were good things to take out of each of them, but the series is getting progressively better for the Devils. And in game three, again, you lose that game down 3-0 is a cavernous deficit. That's something that is so rare to come back from, and especially the demoralizing way that you would have lost that third one. But getting that one win, that belief seemed to kind of spark the Devils into remembering. Well, I say the Devils, spark the coaches into remembering what made this team successful the entire regular season. The penalty kill has been ridiculous since the games in New Jersey. The speed has been much more emphasized. The Devils' hit rate has gone down, actually, per game. It makes sense that a team that is not built for hitting did not do well in playing hockey when they were focused on hitting.
Not only that, Dan, but the other team stopped getting as many power plays to, you know, feast on the Devils. And more importantly, the Devils were able to just, you know, focus on what mattered more. Because as I said in our last show, the Devils were trying to play a hockey game that just didn't exist. Game three was still a problem in that sense, because there was still plenty of beefs, plenty of scrums, plenty of nonsense. A little bit of diving from our hated rivals, but it's still a completely third separate referee crew that had reason to, you know, call it on the Devils. And as much as we could have said, they missed this call, they missed that call, they missed Gaudreau with a jaw shot, they missed, Braden Schneider not checking down Timo Meier into Igor Shesterkin, even though earlier Ryan Graves got hit with a cross check on Vincent Trocheck. You know, yeah, there were missed calls, but at the same time, that doesn't mean you're allowed to foul guys. So, but I would call game three as sort of what, think of a guy digging out of a hole or digging a tunnel. Like
game three was an absolute must win. I don't think game four was a must win. It was like a, it would be really, really great if you did, and you could come back if you didn't. But game three was like, if you lose this, it's over.
Yeah. And to be fair, there were still a lot of the flaws from the first two games in that third game. It wasn't until as the game went on into overtime where we started to see the Devils open things up more often. And lo and behold, their overtime winner from Dougie Hamilton was led by a great exit from Dawson Mercer, a great two-on-two rush by Jesper Bratt and Nico Hischier, and Dougie Hamilton activating. Our hated rivals committed the sin of collapsing too deep, even though it was effectively 4-on-4 in the zone. VC took forever and a half to get changed. So Panarin, when he came on, he was like, oh, they got it in hand. Not knowing that if he hustled back, maybe he would have done something to Hamilton. But Hamilton came into the scene, had acres of space, and because Dougie Hamilton is very good at shooting the puck, he saw that Barclay Goodrow is not very much of a soccer goalie, and for whatever reason, Shesterkin turned into a 1990s prototypical QMJHL developed goaltender. He's in the butterfly, arm, you know, gloves stuck to the side of it to his left, and you know he might as well held up a sign that said "Shoot it over my shoulder, it's open." And Dougie did. You know, those types of plays where the Devils are creating space for activation of defensemen, creating space to keep offenses alive, and to catch the other team in situations that they weren't fully expecting. It was a classic. It was a great overtime winner. It was a great play. I detailed it on the site, but that was what I'm going to call as the breakthrough moment, because we got to see more of those types of plays being generated in game four. So even though the shot count was very low, the Devils were still able to generate a lot of high danger chances and more scoring chances than our hated rivals, because the Devils were able to create those spaces through the neutral zone, win extra pucks and early enough exits to push forward. And that meant a much, much more obvious to the eye Devils victory, where their performance was a lot more like what we've seen throughout the entire season, as opposed to the first three games of the series.
Yeah. So again, with that game, the Devils were growing, just you can see them getting more confident as it goes on. And especially when the game is tied by Trocheck in the third period, it's a moment where you easily could have cowered. You easily could say, okay, well, we've woken up a sleeping giant of some kind. No, the next couple of rushes, the Devils were right back in the Rangers zone attacking the net. They were not deterred at all. This one felt like a deserved result. And again, now that we've had two goal Devils defensemen score goals in consecutive playoff games, with Siegenthaler wiring one off the post and then maybe one of the most satisfying pings from a Devils perspective we've ever heard. Do you remember the trivia question from this game? I love this fact. It had me reminiscing a little bit.
What was the trivia question, Dan?
The last Devils defenseman to score an overtime playoff goal before Dougie Hamilton.
Ooh, that's a good one. Was it Bryce Salvador?
Ooh, that's a very good guess. It was Brian Rafalski.
Ah, okay. It was even further back, because I know Salvador went on a scoring tear in 2012, unbeknownst to everyone. And speaking of Salvador, he was just as pumped as anybody on the broadcast in game four after the post-game interview with Meyer. Yep. Oh, no, not with Meyer. With Siegenthaler, wrong Swiss man. He practically cut him off at the end and said, yeah, we're going to get two more wins, baby.
Like, how about Bryce, Elias?
You're not out there.
How about the reporting from Ryan Novosinski of NJ.com? Patrick Elias walking into the locker room. I won't repeat what he was saying, but man, he seemed excited. It's good. And again, all of this can turn on a dime. We've seen how quickly the momentum of games, the momentum of a series, the emotional ebb and flow can go in the playoffs. We are completely different than we were a week ago, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. And, you know, I can't imagine what the players are feeling. But that being said, you have to make sure you take this and translate it home. You've been destroyed there twice. It is so important to be able to go on the road not staring down elimination yet again. It's a great lesson that they've been learning, and now it's about finding the consistency to keep winning playoff series. So can they show us what, you know, at home, what they have showed on the road? And all year long, they showed it on the road. This team is one of the most resilient we've really ever seen of the Devils, certainly. But again, can they translate that home? Can they make the last line change actually matter? Because it feels like that one advantage that you get has been completely useless.
Well, I wouldn't say useless. I will say, to the credit of, not that I would like to give credit to our hated rivals, but again, if you look at the stats for game between game three and game four, right? Mm-hmm. And I've got this on screen at naturalstattrick.com. You're very good. Your preferred site for stats and such. Game three, in all situations, I'm going to include the power plays, I'm going to include the penalty kills, and even overtime. Although overtime is 5-on-5 in the playoffs now. So anyway, Devils were heavily outshot in this game, 28-36. Chances were a little closer at 32-38, and then the Devils led in high danger chances, 15-12. Now, keep in mind, these are chances include attempts, so you could still miss the net, like Artemi Panarin seemingly did on every power play in that game, which he did. Our hated rivals generated 4 expected goals in game three, and the Devils generated 3.63. Yeah. That's both an improvement of the Devils, because they were held to less than 3 XG in games one and game two, even when the game was completely out of doubt and you would expect the Devils to throw everything forward, but they just didn't. The Devils were clawing their way through, and, you know, they scored 2 goals. So credit to Shesterkin. He did well to stop that. It also speaks to Schmid's excellent night, because he made not only a lot of saves, but, you know, he saved 3 goals above expected. He absolutely goalied our hated rivals.
Yeah.
But here's the key. Game four, the Devils just kept our hated rivals to very little. They, in all situations, that's including 3 power plays, Dan. That's including, you know, pulling the extra skater with 2 minutes left, thanks to a very dumb icing by Ondřej Palat. That's including all the different permutations that Gerard Gallant was throwing out there. And this is in spite of the fact that our hated rivals pretty much had an ironclad game plan in game one, game two, and the majority of game three, where they kept the Devils from being in the middle of the ice, slowed them down, forced them to play a more methodical style with their more conservative approach. The Devils held them to just 1.74 XGA in all situations, which is really low, considering, you know, our hated rivals have, you know, Panarin, Tarasenko, who's actually been good in this series, Zibanejad, Kreider, who also has been very good in the series, Patrick Kane, who has been more effective than I honestly expected, considering I see him as like Peter Sikora's return to the Devils, if you remember him from 2012.
Yeah.
But Kane's been a little more effective than that. You know, they have Adam Fox, you know, they got Jacob Trouba. Like, they have the guns, so to speak. This explains why Gerard Gallant was very unhappy with his team's performance after game four, calling them lazy, calling them saying they weren't focused. And credit to the Devils, they kept it going. They generated 3.6 expected goals. They scored 3 with the empty netter. So again, Shesterkin did all right. I still think he should have stopped the Siegenthaler shot, but hey, good. I'm glad he didn't.
Yeah.
And he also probably should have done better on Jack Hughes's breakaway. Oh, we forgot to mention, Dan. Oh. Jack Hughes has had his fingerprints all over this, over the games in Madison Square Garden, Dan.
Scoring left and right. He owns Igor Shesterkin. I mean, what else can you really say about the situation?
He bombed an important power play goal to tie it up in game three.
Yep.
And then, in game four, you know, so the quote unquote kid line, I don't like calling them kids because they're a little more than half my age, so they ain't that kids, kid friendly. But Lafreniere put a tip in on net. Schmid made the stop, but the puck was loose in the crease. Siegenthaler had the presence of mind to pitchfork the puck away, but do so in a way that it got past Adam Fox, but allowed Jack Hughes, the big deal, to get onto it. He takes it in, shows Shesterkin about 3 or 4 deeks, and then goes around him just like, you know, he's a scrub goalkeeper from the second division of Belgian soccer. Like Shesterkin statistically is very good, Dan, and he is a very talented goaltender. But we're not seeing the Shesterkin of last season at all. We're not seeing Shesterkin being all that great. And, you know, it brings to mind one of the things I'm a little concerned about, but at the same time encouraged about with the next set of games in this series, is that we could see a real bad game from Shesterkin real soon.
Yeah.
And the Devils could just blow him up and, you know, really feel good about their ways going forward. Or alternatively, Shesterkin maybe can play up to his previous reputation and show that he's not, you know, a second banana to Ilya Sorokin, and not a second banana to Henrik Lundqvist, and not a second banana to Mike Richter, and, you know, whomever else you want to name. He's looking like an upgraded Glenn Healy at this moment. Actually, that's not fair. That's not fair to Glenn Healy. I apologize to Mr.
But
Healy.
Again, like,
but the point Devils... is that the Devils have really opened up their game, whereas the New York Rangers have sagged for some inexplicable reason in game four.
Yeah.
And it's almost a question of like, Gallant, why did you change your game plan?
But it's not like he's not making saves at all. Like, just to reiterate, like, it's not the Devils are getting plenty of chances and he's still making good saves.
This is true.
He's letting some uncharacteristic things in, maybe, but he's still making plenty of good saves. Like,
this is true.
Still a better than average goalie by a long shot.
This is true. You're right. I'm being a hater. You're absolutely right, Dan.
Like, they're doing a lot.
Yeah, and to be fair, the issue with our hated rivals, and this is the thing the Devils need to keep in mind truly for Game 5, and I'll put the hate away. I'll put on my logical hat here.
Yeah.
Is the fact that our hated rivals really have not done a very good job at getting the puck towards, you know, towards Schmid, towards the front of the net. And granted, in Games 1 and Game 2, they didn't have to because they scored a bunch of power play goals. They got some tip-ins. They already had a lead, so, you know, they you know, didn't have the pressure to keep pushing forward. Mm-hmm. In the last two games, you know, the Devils have done an excellent job protecting their house, so to speak. Say what you want about Ryan Graves. Say what you want about Damon Severson. Say what you want about Dougie Hamilton. But they all have done the job. And Kevin Ball has done a fantastic job, too. So it's really important for the Devils to be mindful because already the press is starting to put on a little more heat on Mr. Panarin and Mr. Zibanejad. They have yet to score a goal in this series, and they are the two top scorers on our hated rivals. You know,
Nico Hischier sure doesn't have a goal yet, so.
No, but he created the game-winning goal in game
four. I'm just saying.
He also scored a third, but he crashed into Shesterkin instead.
Yeah.
Nevertheless.
They're all due. Like, you know, let's just settle that right now. Everyone's due all the time. It's fine.
Except for Jack Hughes and Kreider. Those two are like...
Those two are inevitable. Yeah.
Yeah, but the point is that the Devils really need to make an emphasis on keeping their defensive structure alive. Keep doing what you're doing on defense. And if you're able to do that, you'll not only make the game easier for Schmid, you'll also make the game tougher for our hated rivals. Because it's one of those things where, despite the experience, despite, you know, the fact that they can say we've been in this situation before, they've also been in situations where they blew a two-game lead in a series.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the more that you can clamp down on them and keep them from doing whatever they want to do, and the more you can able to push back and counterattack and activate your defensemen like you did in game four, like the Devils have done all season, like the Devils have done in the season against our hated rivals for four games, you'll start planting more seeds of doubt. And that's only going to be to the Devils' benefit. So the Devils have a real opportunity, not just to, you know, take the series lead tomorrow night at the Prudential Center, but they have a real chance to really put the screws to our hated rivals. I think the pressure is truly on them. And the more they get frustrated, the more it plays into the Devils' hands. I think if our hated rivals start getting frustrated, they're going to get away from playing this conservative way. They're going to get away from doing what's been so successful with them in the first two games. And if the Devils' power play can wake up a little bit, Dan, you know, they could really punish our hated rivals in a big way tomorrow night.
I mean, they could really punish anyone if they continue doing this the way they are. So really, really encouraging stuff to see, and hopefully they can... you know, continue to make themselves known in the playoffs. So there's already more playoff wins than they've had in a single season since 2012.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. That's already good because we feared last week that may be a possibility to not happen. Everybody?
Yeah. And to be fair, I have to give credit to Lindy Ruff. You know, whether it's because management told him to play
Twitter and sat Miles Wood.
Well, exactly. Like, I don't know if it was so much management or Ruff finally realized, yeah, this bonk some head strategy isn't going to fly in 2023.
Well, he also mentioned that's why he sat him. He sat him because of offensive zone, like, lack of responsibility. He said this.
Yeah, and it's so... it's not just the penalties either. Like, Wood is a guy that he just does whatever he wants. He's got no plan. No, he has very little hockey IQ, if you want to use a scouting term. Yeah, so sitting Wood for game three was a big help, even though Curtis Lazar is not going to give you any offense. He's not going to hurt you either.
Yep.
In game four, yes, he took a holding penalty, but that was a really soft holding call. That's not really, really something I'm too concerned about. But Lazar was perfectly okay, and that's an upgrade over whatever Miles Wood was doing in game one and game two. Mm-hmm. Brendan Smith has been taken out for Siegenthaler. Siegenthaler more than rewarded that effort.
Huge.
With a huge game, game four, possibly the best game in his young career so far. And Kevin Ball, again, I have to emphasize, this guy's looking way better. 3 months ago, I would have said, flip a coin between him and Nikita Akutyuk, you know?
Yeah.
Statistically, oh, eyesight, whatever method you want to do, they look like pretty much the same, except Ball was big and Akutyuk was mean. No, Ball has grown by leaps and bounds over the past 2 months. And yeah, sorry to Mr. Smith. Ball's better than you and should be in the lineup over you. Like, it just should be.
I mean, he has looked some of the most, like, he's looked among all the players, like, one of the most playoff-ready ones. I mean, he has barely made mistakes. He's physical. He's holding off two Rangers at once in moments. He's not a, like, he's
not
really,
taking calls? Yeah.
Like, he's really just, like, very, very solid mistake-free hockey so far, which is, I mean, what a trade. We talked about this, the trade, the Taylor Hall trade, what it's done for the Devils.
Yeah, it turned out to be a real big boon. Yeah.
Mercer, Siegenthaler, Ball, all products of that trade.
Exactly. That was one of those trades that ended up being better over time. And
yeah. Oh, Meyer, I guess, too, you can say, right?
To a degree, yeah. I mean, it's a credit to Fitzgerald for making those moves happen and for, you know, making the best of the situation. I think a lot of people, myself included, can get on a GM or a management of a team by saying, oh, you know, you didn't make this good deal, you didn't get what you could, but that doesn't preclude that you can't do anything going forward or that you can't make the most of your picks. The Mercer pick ended up being a great pick at the time, and you know, he hasn't done much in the series. Dan Mercer, I think, along with Palat, has been one of the more disappointing Devils in the
Meyer too. I mean, by productivity measures, Meyer, but by play, he's
Meyer's
been great.
Yeah, Myers at least is involved. He's shooting the puck.
He's
driving
everywhere.
Play.
He's physical, play. But now, I mean, we got him for the productivity, right? Like, this is time.
Yeah, exactly.
This would be the time.
Yeah, the thing with Mercer is that outside of his excellent clearance that led to the overtime winning goal in game three, Mercer really hasn't done much of anything. He's not shooting the puck. He's not in good situations. Granted, Lindy Ruff has been switching lines up left, right, and center, even in game four. Since he shortened the bench to, you know, not play Lazar and Nathan Bastian all that much.
Yeah.
But Mercer and Tatar and Palat, they're just kind of rotating and none of them are really sticking with anybody all that well. Like, they're not doing well enough to warrant, keeping a line intact. But, you know, that's at the same time, you could flip that around to say, hey, once Mercer gets some shots going, it starts getting into spaces. He's getting to the net more often to do something with the puck instead of without the puck. You might start seeing some more stuff from Mercer and from Tatar and honestly from Palat, who at the very least, he got his first goal in over 20 games with the empty netter. He also saved a goal too. Akira Schmid had a near accident in the third period where he held the puck at the left post. It looked like he had it and then it squirted through. Thankfully, it didn't go over the goal line. Palat just flung it away before, you know, an easy 2-2 game. So I guess Palat, you know, is starting to pull his value a little bit up because he's been terrible. But getting the empty net goal make him feel a little bit more confident and hopefully gets him, quote unquote, going. Because if that could happen, that only helps the Devils going forward. If the Devils can start getting more results and more volume on Shesterkin, you'll start seeing the points from a Brat, from a Hamilton, from a Palat, from a Meyer, from a Tatar, from anybody for that matter, not just the big deal, who continues to deny the haters and losers, of which there are many in Manhattan.
God, he is simply the most dynamic offensive player we've seen at this age.
He continues to throw body checks on Chris
in
Kreider.
In a Devil's jersey.
Yeah, I know. It's
just hitting Kreider every single second, and it's so entertaining because they're good hits too.
Yeah, Kreider's not a small dude, and they're legal too. Like, funnily enough, that overtime winner really started with a solid, you know, no-frills body check by Jesper Bratt on Tyler Mott. You know, I mean, that's the type of hitting the Devils really did more of in Game 3 and Game 4. It was less, we need to go, you know, rock your world and try to get intimidated. Like, our hated rivals are not intimidated. They're just not. Yep. So they got away from that. They got away from the scrums. They got away from the nonsense in game four. And lo and behold, only three penalties, one of which was a clearance over the glass. So, you know, don't do that. And the Devils played more of their game. That's the Devils just really just need to keep doing what they're doing. Yep. That's the benefit. Our hated rivals are in the position where they need to figure out, what are we not doing? Why did we change it in game four? And if we do make these changes, are the Devils going to punish us? That's why the pressure's on them.
I would agree with that. I think, you know, with more experience and having won the first two games. But again, everybody knows it's a three-game series now. Everyone's got a renewed perspective on it. Everyone is ready to get right back into it tomorrow. We're recording this on Wednesday. I think I'll be able to post this even the night of. So, you know, as we look forward to tomorrow, just keep in mind, we've seen ebbs and flows in all directions here. Whether the Devils win or don't win, you never know what could happen the rest of the series. And so
there's still a lot of hockey left.
Yeah. And so I think at that point, we'll just catch you after the series ends one way or another. But
right,
as usual, thank you all for listening. The fans who went to MSG.
Oh, by the way. Yes. Let's credit the fans that went to MSG.
Good job. Great job. We heard you. We heard you on TV. You sounded marvelous and beautiful in the moonlight.
I do just want to highlight what the schedule is.
Okay.
So tomorrow is game five. It's a 7:30 start. There is local television. You want to watch MSGSN, because say what you want about Bill Spalding and Ken Danico, why would you subject yourself to Joe Micheletti and Sam Rosen on MSG? Mm-hmm. And if you're out of market, ESPN2, SN360, which is Sportsnet, and TVAS2, if you're in Quebec, they'll have the game as well. So you do have ESPN coverage. Saturday's game, game six, because there is a game going to be a game six, thanks to the Devils winning both games, is going to be at the world's most overrated arena. Once again, ABC only, national television only, 8 p.m. start. We'll see what the other series are doing. That might be one of the few games on Saturday, but that's going to be an ABC only game, which means if you want to hear Ken Danico and Bill Spalding call another Devils game, and personally, I hope in a sense they don't, because that would mean there's a game seven. That game seven is on Monday. That will be at the Prudential Center, at The Rock. It will be... Selfishly, Dan, I want the Devils to win the next two games so we don't have to consider this possibility.
I mean, yeah, that'd be nice.
I've been to game sevens before. They're not fun. They're both fun and not fun experiences.
Well, in 2003 was pretty fun. I had a good time.
Well, yeah, true. nevertheless, if the series does go to seven, and that's kind of where the benefit of the Devils here. If they win tomorrow night, then they have two shots to get one more win. Mm. Game seven would be on May 1st. That's a Monday night. That will most likely be local television and national coverage as well, just like with games five, one, two, four, and five. So that's the upcoming schedule. We will know very, very soon what the fate of this series is. Already, this is more successful than 2018. Lindy Ruff is better than John Hines. I don't think that was in dispute, but there we go. Schmid has absolutely took the mantle away from Mackenzie Blackwood. Jack Hughes is awesome. The haters need to, take the L. And we go forward, and let's hope for the best in the next two games.
All right. So, as always, from us to not just the fans at MSG this time, but to all the fans that are listening, thank you so much. You enable us to keep doing this, and we're all looking forward to hopefully the Devils winning the next two games. So, we'll join you on the other end of this first round playoff series, hopefully previewing the second round. But if not, we'll see what happens then. Let's go, Devils.
Go, Devils.